Now, it's no secret that scores of Zimbabweans flooded into South Africa when the economy crumbled. I mean, they're at the highest inflation rate in the world, as a matter of fact, under President Robert Mugabe. Now it seems the troubled Southern African nation is once again bringing about some instability within that particular economy. They've already been unstable, but since the coup, it was a coup d'etat, President Mnangagwa from Zimbabwe has been abroad. He was going to visit the World Economic Forum in Davos, but that's been cut short now because, well, of all the unrest in his country. Why is there unrest? I'll tell you why there's unrest. They've raised the fuel price to something between 30 to 40 rand a litre. There was a shutdown of that economy afterwards, and people took to the streets. They cannot afford to pay the amount expected. So even government workers didn't show up in work. But what does that mean for South Africa? We're currently sitting in a situation where they've now once again shut down the internet. I'm told they're shutting it down until Thursday. Last time the internet was shut down, once it was back up and once we get all the stories from Zimbabwe, stories of torture, people being maimed, and then the presidential spokesperson releases a statement saying this is just an indication of things to come. So how do you live with that type of situation? But once again, the key question is, what does it mean for you? So research director at Social Surveys Africa, Tara Paulson-Nguato, joins you this morning to maybe just see if we can actually answer that particular question. So, Tara, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
So if one looks, I mean, one should obviously take a historical look at this. We look at, you know, when that economy crumbled, the natural thing was to go to your neighbor where things, you know, in terms of prosperity, even though we've got a high unemployment rate, there certainly is a better space to live than Zimbabwe. Can we expect a more, and I hate the term influx, it just sounds, well, are we potentially going to see more Zimbabweans crossing the border into South Africa as a result of the latest goings on there?
Well, I'm very glad that you're already saying it's very important that we be careful how we talk about things, and the influx is definitely not the right word.
Yeah.
I think the key thing to consider is that we're supposed to be living in an integrated SADC region.
Mm.
And in fact, there's been a long-term plan to increase the economic integration of SADC, to make movement between SADC countries easier. And we were supposed to be, in fact, at a single currency last year, which, of course, we're behind in the integration schedule.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we should start from the point of saying that movement between neighboring countries in our region is normal. It's not actually supposed to be the exception or something that is a crisis, right? Of course, when we have a particular crisis in one of the countries, and Zimbabwe has been pretty much continuously in crisis since, well, 2008, but even before that, 2002, there's different kinds of movements. And yes, you know, people are likely to change their decisions about moving back and forth between the two countries.
Mm.
One really important thing also to consider is that really the sort of normal relationship between the two countries is circular migration. So people move back and forth a lot.
Yes.
And one of the really important things that has changed since about 2010, 2012, at that time, there were a lot of Zimbabweans in South Africa, and South Africa's policy was to sort of ignore it and not really give people documents, and that made it very insecure for people. And then they came to South Africa and they stayed because they never knew if they'd be able to get back in if they went back to Zim.
Sure.
Since between 2010 and 2012, there have been a range of regularization programs in South Africa, so special dispensation, permits, basically documentation that Zimbabweans were able to apply for that says you can legally live and work in South Africa for a period of time. Not something that then results in permanent residence here, but nonetheless something that regularizes people's ability to just live, you know, without being afraid and being less exploited in the labor market. So things that really support Zimbabweans, but also support South Africans and support the South African economy so that you don't have lots of people who are scared and who are essentially exploitable, right?
Yeah,
and what that What that has done is it made it much easier for people to move back and forth regularly, to be able to support families in Zim rather than having to bring their Zimbabwean families to South Africa with them, be able to buy goods here, which is not a problem for the South African economy. It's a benefit for the economy to send them back to Zimbabwe. So that has actually massively assisted in the stabilization of Zimbabwe's economy, which again then stabilizes people's abilities to go back to Zimbabwe, which now has been disrupted. But what I'm saying is that South African policy to enable people to move back and forth in a secure and safe manner and to be safe and secure and be part of South Africa's economy while they are here in South Africa is a good thing. And that is actually the only way in which Zimbabwe has a chance of stabilizing over time, and really the best way for South Africa to contribute to stabilizing Zimbabwe.
Oh, indeed. I think that is important. And you'll find the Herman Mashabas of this world going, though, well, if people come over, they need to come over legally. It can't be a free for all. How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, I think the difficulty is whether we have good systems at the borders that enable people to come legally, right? Mm. At the moment, we don't have very good systems in that direction. So, again, our starting point should be that as a SADC region, you shouldn't need a visa to travel between SADC countries. That's the direction we're trying to move into. And, you know, sometimes crises like these are quite a good way to fast-track integration processes that are already in place, that have already been politically agreed upon in principle, right? Mm. So why should we now be stepping back from that and saying, oh, no, let's close the border just when people really need to be able to move?
Sure.
And you know, if you say people need to move legally, which I completely agree with, then there has to be a border post at which people can apply for a visa.
Absolutely.
Or get some kind of documentation. At the moment, that's not how the special dispensation permits work. And, you know, Bainbridge border post is efficient. It managed to process 200,000 people going back and forth in early December in very few days, right? So it's not like we don't have institutions that could provide these services. We just need a clear policy direction.
Now, Tara, at a higher level, you and I both understand the importance of integration. The challenge is, and we know what we've seen in this country, and it's been rather sad. We've seen people point fingers and say, they coming in here, they taking over our healthcare services. You know, and in a country where we have, you know, our hospital system, I mean, unless you can afford private health care, yes, they're really great state hospitals, but we also have huge problems in terms of capacity within these hospitals. Our jobless rate in this country, 27.7%, real unemployment rate sitting around 36%, if you take into account people who are not even looking for jobs anymore. Youth unemployment rate sitting at 50% plus. Schools, people can't get their kids into schools because we don't have enough schools for everybody. So you look at all of this, then you see South Africans going, but hold on, now there are loads of other people who are vying for the same resources. I'm a South African, and my kids aren't even getting in. How do you address those drivers? Rightly or wrongly, they are drivers for xenophobia.
Yes, so those perceptions, you're absolutely right, are very widespread. In fact, internationally speaking, you look at standardized surveys that are done around the world. South Africa has one of the highest percentages of people who are willing to state in a survey that they think everybody else who's not South African should go home. The fact of the matter is that those perceptions, while completely understandable emotionally, are often based on sort of not really knowing real numbers and real effects and how economies actually work and how services actually work. So as I was saying, there are about 200,000 people from Zimbabwe at the moment who have special dispensation permits to be in the country. At the moment, it's actually called a Zim exemption permit. And this was renewed in course of 2008, and it's a four-year permit, but we're talking about 200,000 people. Of course, you know, people will then say, well, that's just the legalized ones, and there's millions of others. In fact, there's a lot of research, and the census itself, okay, the census is now very old, but You know, there's a lot of research that actually shows that the numbers of Zimbabweans in South Africa are not as high as people will say.
Okay.
At the height of movement from Zimbabwe into South Africa around 2008, 2009, people were saying it's 5 million Zimbabweans. That would be every single Zimbabwean male in the world in South Africa, which just cannot be, right? It's not realistic. This is a population of 12 million people in the entire world, you know, half of whom are young and children, etc. But, you know, it's possible that maybe between 500 and 800,000 additional Zimbabweans are in the country. But basically, this is a drop in the ocean if we're looking at all 50 million, 60 million population.
South Africans. Tara Polson-Gwaza, thank you for your time. Research Director at Social Surveys Africa.